Welcome to News in Focus with your host, Chris Long, president of the Ohio Christian Alliance. Stay tuned for an analysis and conversation about the issues that matter most to you and your family. Here now with this week's edition of News in Focus is Chris Long.
And welcome to this edition of News in Focus. We're going to continue our roundtable discussion on the war on coal. This past year, we have conducted a series of roundtable discussions on the war on coal and the Obama EPA regulations and the effect it will have on your bottom line with higher utility costs as a result. The war on coal is having a devastating effect on the coal industry throughout the Midwest and here in Ohio by taking affordable coal power plants offline in the Midwest and throughout the country. Consumers are already seeing increases in their utility bills. Mr. Obama's radical, reckless EPA regulation has already had seriously damaged the coal industry in America. But here today on the program, we have some good news because the Supreme Court handed down a stay of the so-called Clean Energy Act. And we're going to talk about that with Mr. Bob Murray, who is the chairman and president and CEO of Murray Energy, Jim Martin, who is the chairman of the 60 Plus Association, and Congressman Bill Johnson of Ohio's 6th District here in Ohio, which is, of course, ground zero for the war on coal here in Ohio. Gentlemen, welcome to the program.
Hi, Chris.
Glad to be with you.
Well, gentlemen.
Good afternoon, Chris.
Well, thank you, Mr. Murray, Congressman Johnson, Jim. It's so good to have all of you back with us to talk about this important subject. And, of course, the Supreme Court's decision came really in the nick of time because just 2 weeks ago, the nation learned that Justice Scalia passed away on that Saturday. Before he did, though, one of the last decisions, Mr. Murray, was to grant a stay in the execution of the order of the environmental clean energy by the EPA, and it was your lawsuit that was being considered. And of course, Justice Scalia led the way with the majority on the court. Then he took off for what was to be a weekend vacation, some time off in Texas, and of course he passed away while he was out of town. That leaves the court with a 4-4 deadlock on most of these kinds of decisions on energy and so many other conservative issues. And we've got what I would consider some good news yesterday from the U.S. Supreme Court. And we'll talk about that in the political ramifications now that the presidential campaign is well underway in the primary states. But with that, let's focus in on this victory that we have because there were so few bits of good news coming out on the war on coal. The coal industry has been devastated. You, sir, have been fighting for working men and women who work not only in the industry, but of course, all of us who depend on clean and affordable, reliable energy that we've had in this country for many decades. Thank you for your work that you do. Tell us about the lawsuit.
Well, first, the loss of Justice Antonin Scalia's a tragedy for his family, and for our country. He was the lead constitutionalist lawyer on the court. He's going to be tragically missed. With regard to the lawsuit, he made the deciding vote of 5-4 to grant the stay. I have been fighting this lawsuit for 3 years. It had been thrown out of the district court repeatedly because they said it wasn't ripe yet. And the Supreme Court saw through the radical D.C. Court of Appeals and granted the stay because we were going to be denied our day in court, because the Obama administration had been gaming the system and delayed the filing of the regulation in the Federal Register until October 23rd, but demanded compliance by the states and by the utility commissions by September of 2016. There is no way the courts could have reacted in that period of time and given us our fair day in court. That happened to us under the Obama-sponsored Utility MACT, Maximum Achievable Technology, where the Supreme Court ruled in our favor last July 29th, that is Murray Energy's favor. But we won nothing because Obama had so compressed the time frame for filing it in compliance that our day in court was moot. as they had already closed 411 coal-fired units. The Supreme Court saw this in this case and granted the stay. We know this rule is extremely illegal. And by the way, over this 3 years, I've been joined by 29 states in the lawsuit who felt that I was correct in my initial lawsuit, which is styled Murray Energy Corporation versus the U.S. EPA.
Well, that's right. In reading from the press release from Murray Energy on February 9th, Murray Energy is extremely pleased with the Supreme Court of the United States granting our request for immediate nationwide stay of the Obama administration's so-called Clean Power Plan. This stay prevents the illegal rule from destroying the lives and livelihoods of thousands of coal miners and will ensure the affordable and reliable electricity is available for all Americans, including those who are poor and on fixed incomes. Jim Martin of the 60 Plus Association. Jim, this is good news for seniors and everybody who of families who basically live paycheck to paycheck.
Absolutely, it is. And by the way, Bob Murray, you're still standing. I don't see how you do it fighting the billions of dollars that Obama and the left is throwing at you. But as a son of a coal miner, I admire your staying power, Mr. Murray. I really do. And speaking of the late Justice Scalia, I got to tell you, while it's 4-4, I got a letter yesterday signed by Chairman of Judiciary Chuck Grassley. He's got all 10 Republican members have signed on. And Grassley, to his credit, quotes the so-called, he dubs it the Joe Biden rule. Of course, Vice President Joe Biden said 30 years ago, we should not be during a political season. Let me quote one direct quote. Biden said, once the political season is underway, and it is, action on a Supreme Court nomination must be put off until after the election campaign is over. That is what is fair to the nominee, and it's central to the process. That is Senator Biden back in June of 1992. And so we're not going to move forward, Mr. Murray, with a 4-4 split. It's not going to go back down to the lower court, thank goodness. And also, Chris, I know you know this, and I know the congressman does too, but yesterday someone else came to your defense. There was an amicus brief filed in the district court yesterday on behalf of 34 senators, over 170 representatives. They're essentially riding shotgun for you, Bob Murray, trying to help you out on this, and it's about time others came to your rescue. Again, I admire your tenacity and your staying power. I really do.
Wonderful news, Jim. And Congressman Johnson, suppose you're one of those members of the Ohio of the U.S. House that signed that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I
ground
let me,
zero.
Let me
you
echo
called
what,
it. It is.
Yeah, let me echo what Jim said. I can tell you, nobody fights for the coal industry like Bob Murray does.
That's right.
And you know, we've had some setbacks with this administration, lots of them.
Yes.
And there hasn't been a lot of help here in Washington for the coal industry. Although some of us have been fighting for that help now for about 5 years. Thank God we got that stay by the Supreme Court on the Clean Power Plan before the markets began to enthusiastically embrace it and before it had the destruction over the industry that we knew that it was going to have. We've got a lot more work to do, though, Chris.
That's right.
To fight off the administration, the stream buffer zone rule is another one that we are working on right now. We've got the administration back on their heels, back on the defensive again with the appropriators requiring that they reopen the comment period to the states and provide the states additional data before they can implement that rule. But we're going to have to stay on top of all of this to make sure that that we can push past the end of the Obama administration and get a responsible agent in the White House that understands how critically important the coal industry is.
That's right. There was an article written in Forbes magazine by Mr. DeLong, and he writes, SCOTUS stay decision, EPA clean power plan, the good news and the bad news. He talks about that the agency is using a dubious theory of climate change and an aggressive interpretation of the law to justify a huge and unpredictable restructuring of the nation's electrical generation system, which is sometimes called the largest and most complex machine ever made, and which may not survive its collision with the EPA. That's how serious this really is. You know, people so take for granted every time they turn on a light switch, every time they adjust the furnace in their home, of course, and all the electrical appliances, and a reliable, affordable electricity that we've had for generations in this country is at risk with this so-called clean power plan from the United States, from the Obama administration and the EPA, shutting down coal-fired generating plants all over the Midwest, all over the country. Mr. Murray, you named it earlier, over 411 plants closed. I mean, yes, that is putting at serious risk the electric grid in this country.
The Obama administration and the Democrats that support him and his appointees have now closed 411 coal-fired generating units in America. The Clean Power Plan, I call it the destructive, expensive power plan, would have closed 49,000 more megawatts of electricity. Let me put this in perspective for your listeners, Chris. Coal-fired electricity is 4 cents a kilowatt hour. The wind and solar that the Obama administration espouses is 22 cents a kilowatt hour, with a 4 cent a kilowatt hour subsidy from the taxpayer on top of it that the United States House and Senate just extended through 2021 against coal. We compete directly with it.
What was that? Was that in the omnibus bill?
It was in December. They did nothing for coal but extended the tax credits for our direct competitor, and as Bill said. And there are folks in the House, such as Bill Johnson, that have been fighting for low-cost electricity and reliable electricity in the state very, very hard. But the leadership of the House and Senate has failed us in the last 2 years as far as the coal industry is concerned. In any event, gas is about 15 cents a kilowatt hour. So your readers need to understand that their electric bills, or your listeners, have already gone up their electric bills, but that's just a fraction of what they're going to go up under this destructive, expensive power plan had we not got it stayed. And, of course, what this stay does is it kills his climate change in Paris, the COP21, all of his international efforts for his legacy. I'm talking about Obama. Obama has thrown, EPA has thrown $1.2 million a year in lawyers at Murray Energy and me. I'm up against taxpayer money, $1.2 million a year, and EPA lawyers in this case that I've been fighting, $158,000 a year in public relations outside payments that the department has made to fight me.
Right.
So you see the overwhelming odds against us, and people that are listening here are paying all those bills for the Obama administration to increase their electricity rates and jeopardize the reliability of our electricity supply, sir.
Well, Jim, this is the kind of thing that we're facing. And, you know, seniors get it. They understand that. They understand how reliable the grid has been because they were the World War II generation. Now the baby boomer that followed them that appreciated what the World War II generation did. And they understand what it's like to get up, work a job, pay your bills, your taxes, and what it takes to keep the lights on. And they know that going into their senior years, the retirement years, with a fixed income, they know that this is a big deal. That this is real stuff. And Mr. Murray, you pointed out it's going to cost us more. It's already edging up. And then we're going to have less reliability of the grid. Congressman, you've been basically fighting that argument in Washington and saying, look, you guys are putting the grid at risk with these kinds of notions on climate change and these EPA rules. Explain.
Well, absolutely. Chris, I've got manufacturers in my district, and this dates back to probably 2 years ago when it started, when the power companies we're already experiencing problems with the reliability and the sustainability of the power grid through some of the Obama administration's devastation up until that point. Manufacturers that were being asked to idle their plants during peak periods because there's not enough energy on the grid to meet the peak period demands. And one manufacturer that I talked to said he told the power company, don't idle my plant for a day. Go ahead and idle me for 7 days, because while you've got me down, I'm going to go look for a place where I can put my manufacturing facility where I don't have to worry about this kind of disruption. Look, this is going to have a devastating effect on business, on residential customers. We have got to maintain a full court press. I am the only optimism that I can give your listeners is that I think the American people now see the devastation that the Obama administration has ravaged upon the coal industry. They've begun to experience those increases in utility rates, and they're going to help us put someone in the White House that values coal, that understands that coal has been the power behind America's innovative engine for generations, and that that America is the innovator, and that we need to be able to have affordable electricity for our businesses and residential customers. And we're going to put somebody in the White House that understands that as well.
Well, we've talked about that as a political solution as the presidential campaign is underway. And I think that's right. On the Republican side, you see all the energy, really record-breaking numbers in Iowa, in other early caucus states and primary states. New Hampshire broke records on the Republican side of those coming out and voting and participating. On the Democratic side, they're way down. Below 2008 numbers and 2012 numbers. I mean, they're like one third of the turnout on the Democratic side. And, you know, it's laughable to hear Harry Reid talk about, well, it's because everybody's doing so well. I mean, that's how delusional they are on their side. All the energy is for politically speaking as well is on the side to really let's change it back. Let's get back to what we were. And I, you know, a couple of the candidates, including Mr. Trump, you know, we're going to make America great again. You know, but the process is going to continue. There's Ted Cruz. There's Marco Rubio. Others are still in the race. But the fact of the matter is all the energy is on the Republican side of this race. And I think it's theirs to lose in November. That they should run away with this thing and really get some things going. I was so encouraged by the Senate, and people had asked me, and they said, well, what do you think, Chris? Well, I said, look, the Senate's going to hold firm. 80 years of standing where you do not confirm a nominee to the bench in that final year, the whole electorate's going to go to the polls. They're going to decide who the next president is. That's who's going to fill the seat, the empty seat on the bench. Your thoughts, Jim?
Well, let me follow up on that and thank Bill Johnson again and Mr. Murray. Bill, I recall campaigning with you about 5 years ago in Ohio, and I'm so glad I did. You've been a stalwart for all seniors, for all your constituents. Ground zero, that's where it is. Let me tell you, we seniors, Mr. Murray, we call it the clean power plan, or we call it the cruel power plan.
Yeah.
It's cruel to seniors on fixed incomes.
That's right.
And while you've talked about 4 cents per kilowatt hour provided by coal, 22 cents per kilowatt hour provided by Obama and the wind and solar, you just brought out another statistic. Everybody's talking about, oh, natural gas. That's the coming thing. Guess what? That's still 15 cents per kilowatt hour. Senior citizens sit around. They know how to count numbers, and they're up in arms about this. Right before we came on the show, I looked it up. We have over 7 million senior citizens all across the country. We have about 300,000 there in the Buckeye State. And so when we get these seniors riled up, they do a lot of things. They call their members. They demand answers. And again, on this amicus brief that was filed yesterday, I want to point out, I want to highlight one thing. For the first time in history, the CRA, the Congressional Review Act, votes in both the House and the Senate opposing the EPA. These were used to buttress the argument that the EPA has clearly violated the separation of powers established by the Constitution. And I want to quote Judge Scalia in a moment before this show is over about constitutional governance. But again, yesterday's paper, Mr. Murray, one of your favorite groups, the Natural Resources Defense Council, as far left as you can get, they were exposed yesterday in an article for their going behind the scenes, not using, as someone said, and Bill Johnson, this might be quoting you or Congressman Lamar Smith, instead of the Clean Power Plan being driven purely by science, it's in reality, it's being driven by left-wing special interest groups, such as the Natural Resources Defense Council, Sierra Club, I could name on and on. But these are Hillary Clinton's folks, guided by John Podesta, who used to be at the White House. That's how evil this is, to bring down an industry, the coal industry. The war on coal is a war on seniors, and we're fighting back thanks to you, Mr. Murray. And thanks to you, Congressman, for what you do for all your constituents.
Well, thanks a lot, Jim, and I appreciate it. It's always great to join you, Chris, and Mr. Murray. I always enjoy these conversations. It's important that we let our listeners understand. You're exactly right, Chris. The voter intensity is with, I started to say Republicans, but I actually believe that it's with conservatives.
Yes.
People that have to work for a living, people who have to feed their families and get up and keep the wheels of innovation churning in America. And those are coal-loving people and hard work-loving people. And I stand with all of you in supporting those people. I've got to
Well, Congressman, we're going to let you go. Thank you so much for coming in on the roundtable today, and we appreciate your thoughts. Thank you for all you're doing in Washington, D.C., and on this issue, on the war on coal. And I know that our listeners and Mr. Murray and, of course, the seniors that Jim represents, we so appreciate, sir, what you're doing. Thank you, Congressman Johnson.
Thank you very much, guys.
Okay, Congressman Johnson, appreciate him weighing in. Mr. Murray, just before we go on a quick break here, you had a thought.
Yes, Hillary Clinton has vowed to continue Barack Obama's policies relative to the high cost of electricity and the destruction of the reliability of electricity. In fact, she has said, relative to my coal miners, I have lost over 2,000 employees, been forced to lay them off in the last year because of the Obama administration and the increased use of natural gas. She has said that I will get $30 billion like it's her money, and I will take it back to the coal areas for the communities there after Obama and she have destroyed the jobs. She said, I will expand, that is her word, on Obama's policies in this destruction. I can tell you, Jim and Chris, that my employees who are laid off do not want Hillary Clinton's welfare. They want jobs. And it is all leading to increased electric rates. And every coal mining job that's lost, there are 11 in the communities that support those coal mining jobs, lost with it. So I've lost 2,000. That's almost 25,000 jobs in my company alone that I was carrying, that I was forced to lay off because of this illegal outlaw administration and the Democrats that support them.
And every one of those jobs represents a family and a story, and it's a tragedy. And this president telegraphed what he was going to do on the war on coal. Well, we're fighting back, and you're listening to News in Focus and a roundtable discussion on the war on coal. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
Who's looking out for seniors today? It's not the AARP. AARP worked overtime to help pass Obamacare, the legislation that cut over $700 billion from Medicare. And AARP supports the death tax, which can rob families of over half their savings due to the death of a loved one. Seniors know that AARP would rather make millions peddling insurance products than support the policies that actually help America's elderly. That's why America's seniors count on the 60 Plus Association. For more than 20 years, 60 Plus has been fighting for the seniors that AARP has left behind. 60 Plus fought against Obamacare and continues to fight every day for its repeal in Washington. And 60 Plus is the leading national organization working to repeal the death tax once and for all so that families can pass down their businesses and farms to the next generation, not the IRS. Stand up for your values. Join 60 Plus today. Visit 60plus.org or call 703-807-2070. This message paid for and authorized by the 60 Plus Association.
And we're back with Bob Murray, chairman of Murray Energy Corporation, and Jim Martin, chairman of the 60 Plus Association, a senior advocacy organization nationwide. And you're listening to News in Focus, a broadcast of the Ohio Christian Alliance. You could visit our website. In fact, if you missed any or part of this interview, you can hear it in its entirety at our website at ohioca.org, and also find the other listings of when this program is going to be aired. Gentlemen, as we continue our discussion, and of course, this was big news with the Supreme Court, with Justice Scalia, of course, writing the majority opinion, the 5-4, granting a stay on the so-called Obama EPA regs of clean energy. But like you said, Jim, it's destruction on seniors, families, and really it's going to just weigh heavily on higher utility costs going forward and threaten the grid, as we've talked about. We've talked about the many levels and where we're fighting, but just before we went on break, Mr. Murray, you referenced Hillary Clinton, and we got to get back to the political side of this because I think it's significant. You know, Mr. Obama, he telegraphed in his campaign that, you know, well, you can build a power plant, but you're not going to be able to burn coal. You know, he telegraphed that he was going to actually commit war on the coal industry. He's followed through on his threat. It's one of the things that he actually did do as far as a threat, and he made good on that. Unfortunately, we were hoping that he would fail on it. Now the court has brushed him back, as they have on so many levels, whether it was Obamacare or some of the other executive orders that he's given, but now through the bureaucracy of the Environmental Protection Agency, which quite honestly, they are wreaking havoc on the country on so many levels. Land grabs, I mean, you know, out west, and of course their own mishap with the mining accident out there in Colorado with the gold mine and those reservoirs being released into the river. I mean, if that was a corporation, I mean, Jim, they would be paying billions in cleanup fees. Uh-oh. And it was so much worse than what was reported, and the media gave them a pass. I mean, if it was BP, like down in the Gulf, I mean, yo, look, it was the never-ending story, but yet you can't even see a line or two in the press anymore about it, but yet those people are still trying to recover in the river that was destroyed by the EPA out there in Colorado. It was just terrible.
Well, absolutely. As a former newspaper reporter myself, I was a conservative. I stood out like a sore thumb in the press galleries here in the Senate and the House, because I was a true conservative. But the media nowadays, they give the left-wingers a pass, if you will. They've done it all along, and that's not anything new to Bob Murray, I guarantee you, in the battles he's been fighting. So let me add another point on this Senate business we're talking about, Mr. Murray and Hillary. We've got to keep the Senate in Republican hands. They're defending 24 out of 34 seats. But on top of that, we got to look carefully. In Indiana, there's going to be an open seat for Republican Senator Dan Coats is retiring. So the Democrats will look to pick up that seat. And Marco Rubio, of course, has given up his seat down in Florida. And two or three Republicans are running, House members, for both those seats, Indiana and Florida. Those are two key Senate seats that need to remain in Republican hands. They'll be tough going there because of the fact any open seat is, as we all know, when you're not going against an incumbent, it's a little bit easier, of course. But we've got seniors ready to go to battle in Indiana and in Florida and in my home state of Kentucky, obviously. But I got to point out to you, too, if you don't mind my saying so, let me reflect a minute on you, Bob Murray, and what you're up against. I got to tell you, as the son of a coal miner from eastern Kentucky, Hazard, Kentucky, to be specific, Mr. Murray, on my behalf and on behalf of coal miners all over the world, you're surely owed a debt, a huge debt, if you will, of gratitude for staying the course that Chris Long has just pointed out. In fact, I marvel at your strength in fighting the billions and billions that Obama and the left-wingers are throwing at you. It's amazing that you're still standing. And talking about the reliability of the grid, and how coal is associated with that, and the national security concerns up ahead.
That's right.
Murray, if you don't stay in the fight, we are absolutely doomed. And we want to thank you and your workers who support you for fighting this, and we want you, you're going to win this war on coal eventually, because my seniors are behind you on this, as you well know. So is Pat Boone, who could not be with us today on this show, but he's eager to continue his fight on behalf of seniors and on your behalf, Mr. Murray.
Thank you, Jim. I want to say this. The job is just partly done. We've just begun to fight. We got rid of the king 240 years ago in our country. He's back. His name is King Obama.
Hmm.
And that is what the Democrats want. They want power in Washington. I call what's going on here a political power grab of America's power grid. If you wanted to move this country in a certain direction and get control of the country in a diabolical, if not evil way, get control of electricity, get control of the reliability of it, get control of the cost of it, put the US EPA that has no expertise in generating or distributing electricity in charge of it. That's exactly what the Democrats have done in supporting Obama. This election coming up is so critical for this country. Laws are supposed to start in the legislative branch, and they're supposed to be overseen by the judicial branch. He's ignored both. He set timetables, he being Obama, so that the judicial branch and the lawyers have slowed down the courts to where they don't work effectively anymore. And bypassed the states. This is the United States of America. That was originally 1350 today. There's utility commissions in the states that are supposed to guarantee the reliability and affordability of the electricity. That was in the states. He's bypassed the states. He's usurped them. He's bypassed the law. He's bypassed the Constitution. He's bypassed the House and Senate and put out all these regulations. And frankly, there's only one presidential candidate so far that has said day one, I will overturn every single regulation that he put out illegally. That's Ted Cruz.
That's true.
There's only one presidential candidate that has made that statement. And your readers need to know that. And there may be others that are saying it or thinking it, but he's the only one that has absolutely made that commitment. And this election is so critical, particularly to people on fixed income. I grew up poor. I had to support my mother and dad. He's paralyzed from the neck down when I was 9 years old. And for 21 years. And I know what it is to be poor, and I know what it is to be on a fixed income. And these Democrats are destroying the lives of people who rely on a fixed income or anyone who manufactures a product for the global marketplace. So I appreciate your words, Jim, but this is way beyond me and way beyond my company. It's America that is at stake right now. I have never seen such a crisis in this country in 76 years.
Well, that's right, Mr. Murray. And, you know, in this article, again, in Forbes magazine, talked about the good news. But the bad news is also what we've just referred to. You know, there's five justices that sided with you, four that didn't. And they're the four horse persons of the progressive left. And that would be Breyer and Sotomayor and Kagan and Ginsburg. And if this president had his chance, he would stack that court with another liberal that would all but kill the coal industry in this country. Thankfully, the Senate currently, and again, elections mean something, and so the Republicans are in control. They said, Jim, they're going to invoke the Biden rule, and that's because they go all the way back to 1992 with a video speech by Vice President Joseph Biden, who said to George H. Bush at the time, Bush 41, in that last year, he said, no, we should not confirm a nominee in this final year. Let the next president do it. Well, you know what? We're going to take your word for it, Joe. We're going to do just that. We're going to wait until the next president, and thankfully and hopefully and prayerfully, that will be a conservative and will put someone of caliber, you know, in the same vein of Justice Scalia, who was a great man that was served on the Supreme Court for those years. 1986, he was appointed by Ronald Reagan, a great conservative, an originalist, who understood this country, understood the importance of everyday men and women who get up, they work jobs, they pay taxes. They're the ones who have to live with these decisions, and we need somebody else like that back on the court, not thinking about, you know, just in the clouds and theories and these kinds of things. These are hard facts of what we have have to face. And it's a dangerous world out there. When we talk about the electric grid, it's a national security issue, Mr. Murray. You know, we look at all the threats around the world right now. The last thing we need is to have issues with the electric grid in this country.
Low cost, reliable electricity is a staple of life today, an absolute staple of life. And that is why the opponents of reliable, low-cost electricity, the radical environmentalists, the illiberal elitists like Mayor Bloomberg of New York, who gave $80 million to the Sierra Club to get rid of coal, which raises electric rates. Easter Seals, you know, when they cured TB years ago, they had all these thousands of employees. They didn't know what to do with them. So the American Lung Association, i.e. Easter Seals, became a radical environmental group, if your listeners don't know that. And the Natural Resources Defense Council, it's collusion between them and the Obama administration. That has been proven, and that's what Jim was referring to earlier in the call. It's coming out now. There are investigations, absolute collusion, a revolving door between these radical environmental groups and the U.S. EPA. Totally illegal, bypassing all of the statutes of the country where you have fair hearings and open government. It's been collusion, it's been internal government, and once they fire them from the country, they go right back to the environmental organization or vice versa. Your listeners really need to understand how bad it has really been down in Washington, D.C. these last 8 years.
That's right.
Absolutely.
Well, Jim, and, you know, seniors, they depend on, you know, Mr. Murray, again, the six lawsuits that you filed defending the employees of the coal industry, the livelihood of coal is a reliable, affordable source for energy in this country. And you were standing alone at first. You got some help. I'm glad that you talked about the amicus brief and the 34 senators, the 170 members of the Ohio House yesterday. Talk to us again about that, Jim. Of those who support now and are joining Mr. Murray?
Well, they did, and that's a huge, huge undertaking just filed yesterday. But let me, Chris, if you don't mind, let me end on a quote by the late beloved Justice Scalia.
Yes.
But before I do, I want to mention Ted Cruz. I'm glad you brought that out, Bob, that Ted Cruz is the only one so far who said he will strike those regulations the first day in office. And I would point out to you, sir, we're not supporting anybody yet, the 60-plus. We're staying out of the primary process. But I would tell you that I went to Houston, Texas, back when Ted Cruz first ran for the Senate, stood on the stage with him, made a talk. Pat Boone later did over 400,000 calls throughout Texas on behalf of Ted Cruz. So we've been involved with him. We're following this race closely. And we think others will come around to his viewpoint. But this regulatory overreach that you've stressed over time and time again, let me quote Thomas Jefferson. He observed that most bad government comes from too much government, and that's the case with the Obama administration and their overreach, if you will, on these regulations. But again, Justice Scalia himself said, constitutional governance is worth fighting for, win or lose. So, Bob Murray, keep fighting. We're going to win on behalf of seniors and all those coal miners that you employ. We're so proud to be associated with you. Thank you again, Chris.
Thank you, Jim. Mr. Murray, some closing thoughts.
It's all a human issue to me, Chris. First, it's my employees and their families. I know whose lives are being destroyed. Those 2,000 miners that I've been forced to lay off, it destroys their lives. But having grown up poor, people on fixed incomes, retired folks, people who want to manufacture a product and compete in the global marketplace, rely on low-cost electricity. That is all being destroyed. And they need to become very active in this movement. We have got to get a Republican president in there for the sake of a fair Supreme Court, for the stopping the destruction of America that I'm seeing. Because I am an expert on the electric power grid, and
on the coal industry. And I'm seeing this destruction up close every day, and it's got names on it. It's a human issue to me. We need everybody to fight harder than they have ever fought in their lives for this country.
You know, you two men are an inspiration. I mean, in your senior years, doing the volume of work that both of you are doing, Jim, you with the 60-plus Association and leading seniors across this country and representing their interests, Mr. Murray, you running the Murray Corporation and fighting for the livelihoods of so many people that rely on the industry and, of course, the reliability of coal. And, you know, I've talked to my son who's in the on the side of the power plant, and you know he's in the business side of it, and there are so many issues that the electric plants are facing today with the Obama administration. They're cowering in front of them when the EPA tries to bully them, and you, sir, have been the one that's gone up and fought them. And you know what? You're not standing alone. We're standing with you and with families and seniors and everyday folks across this country. We get it. And that's why this is so important. This has been a great roundtable discussion today. And I want to thank again Congressman Johnson, who joined us earlier, and the work that he's doing in Washington. Mr. Murray, what you're doing, and we're going to continue to support you. And I agree, and I take those words of inspiration. And that's what we do at the Ohio Christian Alliance. We encourage people to get out, get educated on the issues, the candidates, and vote. And that's what where we can make a difference in the ballot box. We're going to do just that. And Jim, we're going to be working with you as well. Gentlemen, we'll have you back on the program. But this was a bit of good news with the Supreme Court, but we've just begun to fight. I want to thank you both for joining us today.
Thank you, Chris.
Thank you.
Thank you. God bless you.
Thank you. We enjoy it. Thank you.
Thank you. And again, you've been listening to a roundtable discussion on the war on coal. And again, if you've missed any of this program, you can listen to the entirety of it on our website at ohioca.org. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back with some closing thoughts. Don't go away.
Who's looking out for seniors today? It's not the AARP. AARP worked overtime to help pass Obamacare, the legislation that cut over $700 billion from Medicare. And AARP supports the death tax, which can rob families of over half their savings due to the death of a loved one. Seniors know that AARP would rather make millions peddling insurance products than support the policies that actually help America's elderly. That's why America's seniors count on the 60-plus Association. For more than 20 years, 60-plus has been fighting for the seniors that AARP has left behind. 60-plus fought against Obamacare and continues to fight every day for its repeal in Washington. And 60-plus is the leading national organization working to repeal the death tax once and for all so that families can pass down their businesses and farms to the next generation, not the IRS. Stand up for your values. Join 60-plus today. Visit 60plus.org or call 703-807-2070. This message paid for and authorized by the 60-plus Association.
Who might you save?
Your mother, your father, your husband, uncle, aunt, son.
Learn FAST, F-A-S-T, the sudden signs of a stroke, and you could save
your friend, your best friend, teacher, boss, coach.
F, face drooping, A, arm weakness, S, speech difficulty, T, time to call 911. F-A-S-T, face, arm, speech, time. That's F, face drooping, A, arm weakness, S, speech difficulty, T, time to call 911. The sooner they get to the hospital, the sooner they'll get treatment, and that can make a remarkable difference in the recovery of
your neighbor, the waiter, a fellow shopper, a total stranger, grandmother, grandfather.
So learn FAST, the sudden signs of a stroke, then pass it on, because you never know who might save you.
Your wife, your colleague, teammate, mother.
Spot a stroke fast. Visit strokeassociation.org. Brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
And we're back. And again, thank you for listening today to this roundtable discussion on the war on coal. Joining us was Bob Murray of Murray Energy Corporation, Jim Martin of the 60-plus Association, and of course, Congressman Bill Johnson of Ohio's 6th District. And of course, the March primary is quickly approaching on March the 15th. And as we come to Ohio, there are 66 delegates that are up for consideration as the presidential race will come into Ohio. First, of course, they're going to go through Super Tuesday. Last night concluded with the Nevada primaries, and now they move on to Super Tuesday. And then, of course, there's Florida, and there's Michigan, and Ohio on March the 15th. Well, listen, on our website, the Ohio Christian Alliance website, is voter guides that are available. Now, we have a limited selection for the primary of the 2016 race here on March the 15th. Now, the 14th Congressional District, of course, of which we had a panel discussion, a candidate forum on this program, that audio is also available, and you can check that out. Also, we had a candidate forum with the 22nd Senate District, and in that race, of course, is Janet Folger Porter and Larry Oboff, who are heading off against each other on the Republican side, and that's a race that you'll see on our website with the candidate forum. And of course, the 14th Congressional, Matt Lynch is challenging Dave Joyce. And again, this all comes down to March the 15th. Early voting has already begun, but we would encourage you to hold your powder. Don't vote yet, because as we get to the presidential election here in Ohio, many believe that the field is going to winnow down yet again. And as it stands today, at this time of broadcast, we do still have five members that are in on the Republican side. That would be Ted Cruz, Marco Rubio, Donald Trump, John Kasich, and Ben Carson are still in the race. Now, as they came out of Nevada last night, Mr. Trump came in first, and Marco Rubio, it looks like, came in second. Ted Cruz was quickly behind him in the third place, and then trailing way behind in lower single digits was Ben Carson and John Kasich. You know, it leads you to wonder, you know, exactly when these two are probably going to exit the race. After the South Carolina primary, you had Jeb Bush, of course, who exited the race. And so what we have now, of course, is the five. Now, as we go through Super Tuesday and into Michigan, there are a few more debates that are going to take place. Fox News is going to hold a debate on March 3rd, and that's in Detroit. And then a Florida debate by CNN, and that's on March 10th as we head into the primary here in Ohio on Tuesday, March the 15th. But talking about our voter guide, again, on our website, we do have the voter guide of the Ohio 14th Congressional District that's there. Both gentlemen did fill out the Ohio Christian Alliance candidate survey. The Ohio Christian Alliance does not endorse or support any political party or candidate, but we provide this information for educational purposes only. But you can see that there are a number of issues that we surveyed the candidates on, and they responded in kind. Now, the responses are either support, oppose, undecide, and then if they didn't respond at all, we put NR, which means no response. And if you go down and look at the voter guide that's currently on the website, here are some of the issues. Eliminating all federal funding to Planned Parenthood. Well, Ohio made some news this last week as Governor Kasich did sign the bill that defunded Planned Parenthood of $1.3 million in state tax money. That's very good news. It's long overdue. Pro-life groups, including the Ohio Christian Alliance, have been working for years and we've been surveying on that issue for years to candidates, that we wanted to see the defunding of Planned Parenthood for a long time now. We've been a group that's been around since 1991. We've been surveying candidates over these years. We have distributed over 9 million voter guides over the years to churches all across the state of Ohio, helping congregations to understand where candidates stand on key moral issues. Well, that question is being asked to the candidates, where they stand on the elimination of all federal funding of Planned Parenthood. Of course, this is those running for federal office. Prohibiting abortion when a heartbeat is detected has been asked to the candidates. Legislation to protect the tax status of churches and religious institutions, ensuring religious free exercise and free speech rights. Also known on the state level as the Pastors Protection Act, which, by the way, we did give testimony on that bill at the Ohio State State House in the last 2 weeks, and want to tell you that we had over 36 pastors that packed the hearing room, and there was overflow, in which House Bill 286, the Ohio Pastor Protection Act, received a favorable hearing, and they're going to have another hearing. An opponent hearing, of course, is which the committee must provide an opportunity for sponsor, proponent, and opponent testimony, and then, of course, the committee can consider a vote. And it looks as if we've got the votes on that committee to pass that bill, which would be great. We also are looking at House Bill 425, Ohio Student Religious Liberties Act. That bill is one in which we have weighed in on and have given favorable support to, and it assures that our students are having their religious liberties protected in the schools. You know, when you walk into the doorway of school, you know, you shouldn't have to dismiss your First Amendment right. The Bill of Rights does not end at the beginning of the threshold of the school door. But these students have their own right, just as we do, of the freedom of religion and the freedom of speech. And that's what House Bill 425 is all about. And don't forget, we've been working on voter photo ID requirement for Ohio, and that bill is still in committee, but we heard an update that it may be receiving hearings in April when the Ohio House gets back after the primary break. But again, you can go to our website to learn more at the Ohio Christian Alliance website at ohioca.org. You can also phone us at 330-887-1922, and your contributions are always welcome, and we want to thank you for them. And again, thanks for tuning in today to News in Focus. We're so glad that you've joined us. And each week we come to you at the same time. Tell a friend. And again, you can learn more at our website at ohioca.org. Have a pleasant evening. Good night. God bless.
You have been listening to News in Focus with your host, Chris Long, president of the Ohio Christian Alliance. To learn more about the issues that matter most to you and your family, visit online at ohioca.org. That's ohioca.org. Thank you for listening. This program is sponsored by the Ohio Christian Alliance of Akron, Ohio.